all songs of encouragement. Really, really appreciate the good song leading and the good singing. I-35, it'll test your faith, you know? Because I'm having a deja vu, and I'm like, I hope I don't have to text. But, you know, it teaches you to trust. It teaches you to breathe. It teaches you just to just relax. And God will get you there. God will get you there. Anyway, I'm here. And with Minister Spare, yeah. A few months ago, we wrapped up a series of sermons. I like those series of talks. We've done one on the blessings in the church here, and we did one in Wichita Falls on the Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and also Luke chapter 6. And there was just a lot to learn from those lessons. You know, Jesus starts his ministry out there in Capernaum. And he's teaching to the multitudes, and I'm sure everybody is just fascinated because he's taught like nobody has ever taught before. And so as I'm listening to these lessons, I'm not diagnosed. I'm not ADHD, but I may have a little bit of ADHD. So you have a million thoughts while these lessons are being taught, And so that's really what I want to share with you tonight. Some of the thoughts that came to me while listening to sermons from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, and Luke chapter 6. The parables that Jesus tells oftentimes portray just tragic and terrible mistakes that people make. People generally seem to be blind to the terrible mistakes that they're making in life, and we're reading about that, and we're studying about that in the book of Revelation. But Christ so vividly points out, you know, these sad and regretful mistakes, and once these mistakes are pointed out, it's hard for us to remain just blind to it all, unless we just want to remain blind to the lessons. And so one of the burdens of preaching, one of the burdens of teaching a lesson is that what you're trying to do is you're trying to enlighten someone and help them sometimes to realize the mistakes that we've made. And also, not only to realize mistakes that we've made, but also to how to overcome these mistakes. The wisdom of man usually tells us, you know, of the mistakes that we're making, and so the wisdom of man is like, okay, you've got to have a positive motivation, think positive thoughts, make sure that you manage your time and your money. Practice a little bit of meditation, a little bit of relaxation, plant a few trees, don't burn too many fossil fuels, get some sleep, eat right, exercise a little, just to name a few. And those and hundreds of other things may very well be serious mistakes if we don't do them, but they don't compare to the enormity of the mistakes that are made on a spiritual level. And these mistakes, when we read about them in the New Testament, as we will this evening, are just utterly simple. And even a child can understand them. And yet people go on making these mistakes, these same mistakes, over and over, sometimes blindly, and sometimes deliberately. So let's look at some examples, and most of our scriptures are going to be taken from the book of Luke. So if you have your Bible with you, I encourage you to turn over to the book of Luke, and we're going to be looking at chapter 6. We're going to look at how these parables point out great mistakes. And I'm going to give four examples, but you may think of other examples as I'm up here talking, and your mind is also thinking of other areas too. You may be thinking about other great mistakes, other great failures. Nevertheless, I hope the four that I point out this evening will be sufficient just to give you a general idea of what we're talking about here. We used to host birthday parties at work, and the people who host the birthday parties a lot of times send out invitations. And at the bottom of the invitation is this little word. It's RSVP, all right? And there's a lot of people I've learned in Wichita Falls that do not speak French. They have no idea what RSVP means. The first mistake that a lot of people make is not accepting God's so kind, very kind invitation. Let's look at Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. Luke chapter 14, verses 16 through 24. And it says, "But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a field and I must go out and see to it. Please have me excused.' Verse 19, and another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I need to go examine them. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and he said to his servant, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor, the crippled, and the blind, and the lame.' And the servant said, 'Sir, what you command has been done, and still there is room.' And the master said to the servant, 'Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet.'" God has invited us to be partakers of eternal life in his heavenly kingdom. We're going to be looking at that in Revelation chapter 22, hopefully, God willing, in a couple of Sundays. And it would be a terrible mistake to brush aside that invitation when there's really no excuse to do so. Jesus likened this mistake to people's response when the head of the household put on a big banquet, invited many to come. Everyone turned him down, made flimsy excuses. This made the man angry. And what did he do? He withdrew that gracious invitation. Not accepting God's kind invitation. Great mistake number one. Great mistake number two. Hearing the word and not doing God's word. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49. It's a story of the two builders. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he's like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood rose, the stream broke against the house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When a stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great." In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and John chapter 1, verse 9, Christ is the true God and eternal life, and he enlightens every man. And we would be foolish not to listen to Jesus and what he says we need to do. Jesus tells a parable where he points out that to come to him, you know, hear his word, and then you act upon it, and that's like a wise person building a house on a foundation that's solid. It's rock. And to be without this foundation is a terrible mistake, and it will only lead to disaster. Great mistake number two. You hear the word, but you don't act on that word. Earlier this morning, we talked about this world and how the earth dwellers, you look around and you see sin everywhere. It is everywhere. But the great mistake that we see in the parable in Luke, we're going to turn to Luke chapter 18. The great mistake, number three, is it is about sin, but it's about failing to see sin in oneself. This is the parable of the foolish Pharisee. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And it reads, "He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get.' But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the only way that we can be justified is through Jesus Christ, Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Most people, however, don't even think about this. They don't realize this. Many think that they are righteous enough on their own, and this should satisfy God. To point out this fatal mistake, Jesus pictures a Pharisee in prayer next to a tax gatherer, a tax collector, also who's in prayer. And the prayer of the Pharisee is self-righteous, it's prideful, it is greatly mistaken. And the result was that he was not justified. He was not made right. The sin that he did not recognize in himself condemned him in God's eyes. Mistake number three, there's a lot of sin in this world, but mistake number three is failing to see the sin in oneself. Great mistake number four, not getting ready for the judgment. We're going to talk about the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. The rich fool in Luke chapter 12, and let's look at verses 16 through 21. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. "And he told them a parable, saying, 'The land of a rich man produced plentiful. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops." And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, "Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry." But God said to him, "Fool, This night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. The Bible says it's appointed for man to die once, and after this comes a judgment. And this will happen at Christ's second coming. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 through 28. And our first priority in life should be to prepare for this appointment. We've been here a couple months now, and we've had to make a lot of appointments, doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, and you know the day, you know the time, you even know to show up 30 minutes early. But this appointment, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, 28, I have no idea when this appointment is. I have no idea when this appointment is coming. And tragically, most people don't make any provisions and live as though death, it's not a reality. They put their time and effort into the comforts of this life because they're afraid they might miss out on the joys of this life, when really they're going to miss out on the joys of heaven. And Jesus tells a simple story of a farmer busy gathering into barns more and more goods, more and more things, and this person is unaware that he has just a short time more to live. Great mistake number four, not getting ready for the judgment. Just some examples of how parables point out great mistakes that are made by individuals. And as I said, you may think of other examples and even other mistakes, other failures. And nevertheless, I wanted to just cover four this afternoon. And I hope I've given you something to think about. Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. I highly encourage Matthew chapter 5, 6, 7. I highly encourage Luke chapter 6. I highly encourage you to read your whole Bible. But there's a lot of lessons that I've learned, a lot of lessons that I keep learning, and I hope a lot of lessons I continue to learn as long as I'm here. There's a burden. There's a burden of Jesus' teaching, and that burden is that he tries to enlighten us. He tries to help us to realize the mistakes that we've made, but he also doesn't just point out our mistakes. He tries to show us how to overcome those mistakes, and we need to realize when we're making great mistakes, not accepting God's invitation, hearing but not doing God's word, failing to see the sin in ourselves, and finally, the great mistake of not getting ready and not being ready for the judgment. The lesson is yours. At this time, there may be someone who hasn't made the commitment, the forgiveness of sin through baptism. Don't make a mistake. Don't wait. At this time, you may realize there's a mistake in your life, and the way to overcome that mistake is to ask God for forgiveness. If we can help you in any way, please let your needs be made known to people who dearly, dearly love you. Please make your needs be known while together we stand and sing.